Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. All together, please. Om Ajnana Timarandasya Ganandana Salakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Nama Shri Chaitanya Manobistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yukta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrijatam Sahagana Raganatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sarvetam Savadutam Prajna Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padang Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitamscha He Krishna Karna Sindhu Dhina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gubika Kanta Radhakanta Namostute Tapcha Kanchana Gorange Radhe Brinda Vanishwari Vrishabhana Sutadevi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bevacha Paditanam Bhavnebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shiva Siddhi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram 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 Hare Hare So reading from Srimad Bhagavatam Translation and commentary His Divine Grace Srila Esa Bhaktivedanta Goswami Maharaj Srila Prabhupada Kida. So today's verse is an accumulation of verses, 13 to 27. 27 is on the board here. That is of chapter 13, entitled The Dynasty of Maharaj Nimi, Canto 9. So 13 to 26 don't have purports. So I'll just read the English, then we'll chant the verse on the board here, number 27, in the usual manner. Is that clear? So if you listen carefully while I start with text number 13. I'll just read the English. Because he was born in an unusual way, the son was called Janaka. And because he was born from the dead body of his father, he was known as Vaideha. Because he was born from the churning of his father's material body, he was known as Mithila. And because he constructed a city as King Mithila, the city was called Mithila. O King Parikshit, from Mithila came a son named Udavasu. From Udavasu, Nandivardhana. From Nandivardhana, Suketu. And from Suketu, Devarata. From Devarata came a son named Brihadratha. And from Brihadratha, a son named Mahavirya, who became the father of Sudviti. The son of Sudviti was known as Dristuketu, and from Dristuketu came Harshyasva. From Harshyasva came a son named Maru. The son of Maru was Pratipaka, and the son of Pratipaka was Kritaratha. From Kritaratha came Devamita, and from Devamita, Vishvaruta, and from Vishvaruta, Mahadriti. From Mahadriti was born a son named Kirtiratha, and from Kirtiratha was born Maharoma. From Maharoma came a son named Swarnaroma, and from Swarnaroma came Harasvaroma. From Harasvaroma came a son named Sri Rajadwa, also called Janaka. When Sri Dwaja was ploughing a field, from the front of his plough, Shira, appeared a daughter named Sita Devi, who later became the wife of Lord Ramchandra. Thus he was known as Sira Dwaja. The son of Sira Dwaja was Kusha Dwaja, and the son of Kusha Dwaja was King Dharma Dwaja, who had two sons, namely Krita Dwaja and Mita Dwaja. O Maharaj Parikshit, the son of Krita Dwaja was Keshi Dwaja, and the son of Mita Dwaja was Kandika. The son of Krita Dwaja was expert in spiritual knowledge, and the son of Mita Dwaja was expert in Vedic ritualistic ceremonies. Kandika fled in fear of Keshi Dwaja. The son of Keti Dwaja was Banuman, and the son of Banuman was Satyajumna. The son of Satyajumna was named Suchi. From Suchi, Sanadwaja was born, and from Sanadwaja came a son named Ujjaketu. The son of Ujjaketu was Ajja, and the son of Ajja was Purijit. The son of Purijit was Aristonemi, and his son was Srutayu. Srutayu begot a son named Supakshya, and Supakshyaka begot Chittaratha. The son of Chittaratha was Shemamadi, who became king of Mithila. The son of Shemamadi was Samaratha, and his son was Satyaratha. The son of Satyaratha was Upaguru, and the son of Upaguru was Upagupta, the partial expansion of the fire god. The son of Upagupta was Vasmananta, and the son of Vasmananta was Yuyutha. The son of Yuyutha was Subhasana, and the son of Subhasana was Shruta. The son of Shruta was Jaya, and from there came Vijaya. The son of Vijaya was Rita. The son of Rita was Sunakaka. The son of Sunaka was Vitahajwa. The son of Vitahajwa was Driti, and the son of Driti was Bahulaswa. The son of Bahulaswa was Kirti, and his son was Mahavasi. Sukadev Goswami said, oh, so now we're up to 27. So please repeat. Yes. It's up there on the board, right? Can you see? The writing is a bit small. Please repeat. Ete vai Maitila Rajan Atma Vidya Visradada Yogeshvara Prasadena Dvandver Mukta Griheshwapi Eteva Maitila Rajan Atma Vidya Visarada Yogeshvara Prasadena Dvandve Mukta Griheshvapi. Okay, we'll go straight to the word for word. And we must thank you. Ete, all of them. Vai. Indeed. Maitila, the descendants of Mithila. Rajan, O King, Atma Vidya Visharada, expert in spiritual knowledge. Yogeshvara Prasadena, by the grace of Yogeshvara, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Krishna. Dvandve Muktaha. They were all freed from the duality of the material world. Greshu Api. Even those staying at home. Translation, Srila Prabhupada. Sukadev Goswami said, My dear King Parikshit, all the kings of the dynasty of Mithila were completely in knowledge of their spiritual identity. Therefore, even though staying at home, they were liberated from the duality of material existence. Please repeat, Sugadev Goswami said,
My dear King Parikshit,
all the kings of the dynasty of Mithila
were completely in knowledge
of their spiritual identity. Therefore,
even though staying at home,
they were liberated
from the duality of material existence.
Purport Srila Prabhupada. This material world is called Dvaita or duality. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Anchya 4176, it says, Dvaite bhra bhraja jnana sabda manodharma e bhala e manda e sabde brahma. In the world of duality, that is to say, in the material world, so-called goodness and badness are both the same. Therefore, in this world, to distinguish between good and bad, happiness and distress, is meaningless because they are both mental concoction, manudharma. Because everything here is miserable and troublesome, to create an artificial situation and pretend it to be full of happiness is simply an illusion. The liberated person, being above the influence of the three modes of material nature, is unaffected by such dualities in all circumstances. He remains Krishna conscious by tolerating so-called happiness and distress. This is also confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 2.14. Matraspashastu kunteya sitoshna sukaduka daha agama payano nityas tamstatikshava bharata. O son of Kunti, the non-permanent appearance of happiness and distress and their disappearance in due course are just like the appearance and disappearance of winter and summer seasons. They arise from sense perception or skin of Bharata, and one must learn to tolerate them without being disturbed. Those who are liberated, being on the transcendental platform of rendering service to the Lord, do not care about so-called happiness and distress. They know that these are like changing seasons which are perceivable by contact with the material body. Happiness and distress come and go. Therefore, a pandita, a learned man, is not concerned with them. It is said, Ganasun agatam sumscha, Nanyu sokshanti panditaha. The body is dead from the very beginning because it is a lump of matter. It has no feelings of happiness and distress. Because the soul within the body is in the bodily conception of life, he suffers happiness and distress. But these come and go. It is understood herewith that the kings born in the dynasty of Mithila were all liberated persons, unaffected by the so-called happiness and distress of this material world, of this world. Mukum karoti vacha lam pangam laite girim yad kripa tamaham bande shri guru dinatharinam. Ete vai Mithila rajan atma vidya visharadaha yogeshwara prasadena Vande Bhukta Griheshwapi. Sugadev Goswami said, My dear King Parikshit, all the kings of the dynasty of Mithila were completely in knowledge of their spiritual identity. Therefore, even though staying at home, they were liberated from the duality of material existence. So, Hare Krishna. This is very important. That Krishna consciousness is attainable, freedom from the dualities, the relative value judgments of this material world, is available in any situation, even at home. Now, the Srimad Bhagavatam is Amula Puran. There are 18 Mahapuranas. So,
Why have we got all these long genealogies? Well, to qualify as a Purana should have five elements within it. The first one is cosmogony. What does cosmogony mean? Cosmogony means the creation of the universe. Everyone is concerned about what is this creation, how has it come about. So each Purana has a dissertation, explanation, elucidation, enunciation of how the universe was created. Even the material scientists, they come up with their idea, Big Bang and all that. Of course, that's nonsense. They want to propose any theory other than the Supreme Lord. Right? The universe is all over the world. You can propose any explanation for the creation, but do not propose that it's a Supreme Lord with inconceivable potency and power. So these five topics, they are of concern naturally to all human beings. Human beings are inquiring. So they want to know, how did this universe come into effect? Unfortunately, in Kali Yuga, there's many demoniac, foolish miscreants, and they think that their mental speculation, based on their sense perception or their motivations, is some kind of great, grand revelation. And the world is suffering because of this stupidity. So cosmogony, how the universe was created. Second item that Puranas generally contain is cosmology. That means the layout of the universe, right? We all look at the sky. Well, we used to be able to before the winter came. Anyway, and we, at night, we look at the stars, the planets, the movements, and we wonder, do we not? How is this universe laid out? What am I seeing? Does it end? Where does it end? What is happening? So cosmology is of concern. So, interestingly, in the fifth canto of the Bhagavatam, there is a short dissertation on the layout of the universe. But it is prefaced by the direction that if you want to use the empirical senses, pratyaksha, to understand the layout of the universe, then, and you want to use anuman, interpretation of that sensual information that you'll get from your senses with a telescope or a microscope, whatever. If you want to use that system, you will not find the layout of the universe after millions and millions of births. Because the universe is composed of gross, subtle, and spiritual elements, and you are just trying to perceive the material universe with your gross senses and speculating with your limited intelligence. So the layout of the universe is described in the Bhagavatam and in summary form. And it is there as a glorification of the Supreme Lord. That is not to say that it is inaccurate or the measurements are not correct, but rather it is to explain and expand the glorification of the Supreme Lord and satisfy the human inquiry. What is the layout of this universe? How does it work? Cosmology. And then the third element of a Purana is, as we've seen today, the genealogies, the family descent of the Vedic kings, so on and so forth, and their culture, their relation, their activities. The fourth element is the disciplic successions and descents, the genealogy, spiritual genealogy, and the, like I say, the sampradaya, the mat, the teachings of the great sages. So we can see those four elements, right?
People are interested how the universe is created, what is the layout of the universe, and then they're also very concerned, who's created me? And they look in the immediate sense towards a genealogy. Like nowadays, if you're foolish and you believe these people, you can send a DNA swab and they'll say, oh, you are 5% Red Indian, 10% from Nairobi, 90% from somewhere else. That would make you 105%, but never mind. And then they'll charge you a load of money, put that information in some supercomputer, and use it for their own benefit. So anyway, we are concerned, what is my forefathers, right? Who is my father, grandfather, and this and that? I remember, I've been to Tirupati a number of times, three times, I think. So in the old days, when you want to get darshan, you used to have to say which gotra you're from. So I said, I'm Achyuta Gotra. So actually, everyone is Achyuta Gotra. We're all the, our genealogy, whether it is spiritual or material, or disciplic, whatever, it always goes to Lord Brahma. He's the primary Prajapati, and above him, of course, he's born from the lotus flower that springs from Garbhodakshaya Vishnu. And of course, he's expanded from Mahavishnu, and they're expanded from Shankarshan, Baladev, Krishna. And we as Atma, Jivatma, we appear as the halo of Srimati Radharani because we are a Shakti. That is described in the purports of Brahma Samhita. So our genealogy goes back that way. So we're also concerned, at least the enlightened people are concerned, what is the words of the sages? What is their genealogy? What have they said? What is said in these different sampradayas? What have the acharyas said? Who is their teacher? Narada, the different Charivaisnav sampradaya, who's the sampradaya acharya, something, and what is their teachings? What is their discussion with the Supreme Lord? So the Bhagavatam is full of that, is it not? Particularly that is a content of the Bhagavatam. But then these all lead, if you understand, you can see a kind of relationship. How's the universe created? Then what is the layout of the universe? And then what are the people within the universe? And then what are the teachings within the universe, embodied by the great sages? And then what is the subject of 1, 2, 3, 4? And that is the fifth element, and that is the absolute truth, the summum bonum. Summum bonum means the complete whole, the complete good from which all good emanates. So in this way, the five elements of a Purana are there. And their Purana means ancient, historical, not exactly historical. The commentary, the other Vedic literatures are called itihasas. They are histories, like the Mahabharata. That is called an itihasa, because it is the history. It is put, the stories are put in consecutive form. They are in time sequence, such as the Ramayana, the Mahabharata. But the Puranas, they are mainly elucidating the Vedic message through the words of the great sages, the words of the Supreme Personality, his form, his quality, his pastimes. So they do not necessarily form any time sequence. It might be one story is coming from Satya Yuga, another story is coming from Dwapara Yuga, another story is coming from Treta Yuga, and they may be in other Divya Yugas and in other different times. And also it is there in the commentaries that sometime within the Srimad Bhagavatam, the different leelas, for example, the Varaha Leela is a combination of different Varaha Leelas. And the Vedavyas, in writing the Srimad Bhagavatam, he combined the different leelas in a flexible way. Why is that? Because the main aim of the Puranas is to clarify the Vedic knowledge, not to give a precise historical document of what happened where and when, but rather to give the message. And that message is divided into Sambandha Abhideya Prayojan. Sambandha means relationship, Abhideya means process of attainment, and Prayojan means the necessity, the goal. So Sambandha Gyan, and is the knowledge of relationships between the Supreme Lord and His three divisions of energy, the spiritual energy, the material energy, the Jiva Shakti, all their interrelations. Abhideya is Bhakti, which is divided into Vaidhi and Bhava Bhakti. Regulated devotion for the neophyte in the stage of sadhana, and then bhava bhakti for the uttamadhikari whose relationship with the Supreme Lord is awakened. And then prayojan is not just the goal but the necessity. So what Krishna, the attainment of Krishna consciousness, is not just a goal of life, but it is a necessity. Because we are in this awkward condition, as Prabhupada quoted there in the purport, Matraspasas Tukunteya, Sitoshna Sukadukada. This material world, as Prabhupada enunciates in the purport, is never going to be a happy place. There's always going to be good and bad in the mind of the dualistic world. But what does Krishna say in the Bhagavad Gita? Trigunya Vishaya Veda Nistrigunya Bhavajana Nirvanvo Nityasatvasto Niryoga Shema Atvavan. What does that mean? That means the Vedas, all this Vedic knowledge, because we are in the material world, it mainly deals with the three modes of material nature. The three modes, they are how the material world is created. The three modes, they interact with the pradhan, and they create the gross and subtle elements, 20 in number, in the gross platform. Not the elements of the periodic table, but the bhutas, entities, specific states of material expression within the creation of the Supreme Lord. So, the three modes of material nature, Krishna says, that is the subject mainly of the Vedas. But the Vedas, the four Vedas of course, they contain one element, and that is the Upanishads. Upanishads, the four original Vedas. The Upanishads, there are four sections to the Vedas actually, Samhitas, Brahmanas, Aranyakas, and the Upanishads. The Samhita means collection of prayers. Yeah, collection of prayers. Just like you have Brahma Samhita. It's a collection of prayers by Lord Brahma upon his realization of the summum bonum, the absolute truth. So Samhita is collection. Samhita Brahmanas means sacrifices and prayers. And then Aranyakas are how to perform these sacrifices. And the purpose of all that is bhajan of the Supreme Lord. And for those of less enlightened nature, yajñas towards different devatas, leading, who are the limbs of the Supreme Lord, analogously. So the fourth element of each of the four Vedas. Originally it was one, but at the beginning of Kali Yuga, Veda Vyas, he broke it into four for the means of distribution, simplicity. So the Upanishads, they are dissertations. Aranyakas are dissertations also, but their dissertations are between disciples and gurus, how to perform the yajnas. But the Upanishads are also discussions between guru and disciple, but their primary concern is transcendence. So Trigunya Vishya Veda Nistrigunya Bhavarjuna. So Krishna is explaining the Vedas mainly deal with these modes of material nature, and that's all very pertinent, Arjuna, because we're in the material world. We must know how to navigate it. What is the origin? What is the cosmogony? What is the cosmology? What is the genealogy? These are natural inquiries. So it's mainly dealing with these things. But then he says, Nirvanvo, however, Arjuna, become transcendental to these three modes and be established in the self, dvanve. Just like we have that word here in today's verse, dvanve mukta griheshwapi. These people, they were dvanve mukta. They were free from the dualities. How? Because they were situated on the transcendental platform. So the Upanishads, they describe how to get out of the duality of the material creation that we interpret in a dualistic manner, and how to become established in the self. So that's dvanve, Trigunya Vishya Veda Nistrigunya Bhavarjuna Nirvanvo Nitya Sattvasto Niryoga Shema Atvavan. Arjuna, the modes of material nature, the prime discussion, or a large part mainly of the Vedic message, but rise above these modes, become free from all duality and all anxiety for gain and safety. This is very pertinent because Arjuna, he's worried about his safety, the safety of his forefathers, his family, so on. He's on the battlefield. Become free of all that duality. Why? Because Arjuna in the battlefield, he's thinking, I don't want to do this. It's a bad thing to fight. I want to do this. I want to live by begging. That's a good thing. He's in this dualistic manner. Krishna is saying, he's his guru, Shishyashteham Satimam Twam. Arjuna's already said, I surrender to you. I'm your disciple. Please instruct me. So Krishna is instructing. Become free of this dualistic interpretation of the material world and all this idea for gain and safety, because he was sitting on the battlefield. Even if we win this, or achievement of the kingdom, it'll be tainted with blood. It's very dramatic, his words, right? Become free of all that and Atmavan, be established in the self. So that is the message of the Upanishads. And you'll find in the Manduka Upanishad, very short Upanishad, but very important information, it explains this self, this situation of being in the self, that it is not just a philosophical idea or a paradigm or an idea, but it is a practical experience. So in the Manduka Upanishad, it's explaining that there is four types of consciousness that we experience. The first one is susupti, that is deep sleep. It means when you're dreamless. If the consciousness is withdrawn from external activity and it's withdrawn within the soul, and that's, we need that, because this external world is battering us. It batters the consciousness of the soul. So when we go to sleep, we think, oh, forget the world. And if we sleep well, we go into dreamless state. These things are even perceivable by the materialist.
with his test tubes and things. Whatever. And so the example is given that just like in the day an eagle flies, but then as night comes, it perches on the side of a cliff or a mountain, and it withdraws its wings, and then it sleeps. So the consciousness is withdrawn to within the soul, and the soul enters into a Brahman state called Susupti. His karmas are not purified, but he starts interacting with the external energy. So Susupti, then above that is Swapna. That is the dreaming state. All right. So the consciousness is coming out of the soul. Sometimes you enter a dream state when you're at night taking rest. You enter a dream state and then you go back into Susupti, Swapna, and Susupti, Swapna, Susupti. I think they say during dreaming state you have rapid eye movements. The eyes may move below the eyelids, so on and so forth. So then the consciousness is interacting with the subtle body, which is composed of manas, buddhi, ahankara, and chittam, mind, intelligence, false ego, contaminated consciousness. So the soul is expressing his perceptual ability within primarily the subtle body. And this is the platform of Rajagun. Susupti is Tamagun. So in that his desires, his aspirations or reactions to various experiences are there. But he loses largely consciousness of his body. So even though he may be a tom-tom driver, he thinks, I'm the king of Vrindavan. He may have a bad stomach, but in his dream he's a great opera singer. So on and so forth. So his desire is expressed, his Rajagun, in Swapna, in this way. He flies in an aeroplane to different planets. He meets the girl of his dreams. Right? So the girl of the dreams. So that is also beneficial because the soul's desires become expressed and satisfied in an illusory fashion within the dreaming body. But then he comes to the third layer of consciousness or position of consciousness, status, and that is Jagra, world. That means normal waking state. So in that normal waking state, he doesn't think he's the king, or I'm the greatest boxer, or I'm the richest man, and all the beautiful girls love me. No, he's back into this material body. So his consciousness then is primarily expressed through the gross body. And he realizes that I'm not the heavyweight champion of the world. He realizes that actually my wife is telling me what to do. So in this way he experiences this gross dream actually. And everyone, according to their karma and calm, they have a different experience of this gross world. So then above that, and this is very important to understand, there is the platform of Turiya. And that is the fourth platform. And as I said earlier, we must understand that. This is yoga. This is the Vedic prescription. It is not a belief system. Believe this. The yoga, directions of the Veda are for you to experience the spiritual platform, the Krishna conscious platform, the spiritual platform, devoid of duality, the absolute truth. So, according to the different ages, different methods, and even within the Gita, fourth chapter, you will find
that there are different prescriptions. Krishna says different yajnas. There is the yajna of japa, yajnanam japa, of sacrifices, Krishna says in the 10th chapter of Gita, of sacrifices I am japa. But in the 4th, he explains there are some that perform sacrifices to the Supreme through knowledge, through sensual control, through breathing exercises, through working without attachment to the result. Krishna gives a whole lot. And then Krishna says, then having offered these to the Supreme Lord, these practitioners, they taste the nectar of immortality. So this is the point. And of course, what is the yajna for Kali Yuga? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And also to hear the Srimad Bhagavatam. So this is very important. When we're hearing the Bhagavatam, reading the Bhagavatam, and that means the ancillary literatures, all the literatures, like the Gita, the writings of the great Acharya, Chaitanya Charitamrita, we should be perceptual towards the spiritual platform. We should be attentive when we chant our japa. We should try to perceive the spiritual platform. Now, we're habituated to being in deep sleep. We're habituated to the dream state. And there are, you know, these psychic type people. They will say, oh, how to awaken your dream, like many people have studied this kind of thing, how to communicate with beings on the subtle plane, so on and so forth. And then there are people that say, you know, you've got to learn how to be diplomatic and deal with people on the gross plane, the awaking state. But we should also, in the same manner, use our focus, our ability to perceive the transcendental platform. Just like children, they wake up and they wander around this world and they're trying to figure out what all these funny people called adults are doing. What is going on? So that is spiritual inquiry. That is the purpose of sadhana, not just to run through rules and regulations, but to come to a direct perception of the transcendental platform. And that is the absolute platform. That is the platform of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who dances with his devotees. It is the nectar of devotion. It is an ocean of rasa. Krishna is rasava saha. He is unlimited in shakti and potency. He is expressed as the Swarup Shakti, Srimati Radharani, as his devotees. They are experiencing the transcendental platform. And therefore, that has to be the focus of the sadhaka. And success in spiritual life is to be absorbed on that. And here we see in today's verse that these descendants, they were free of the duality of the material world. They were absorbed on the absolute platform. Now let us try to understand that. What does it mean, free of the duality? Why are we experiencing duality? Now, we are all thinking, oh, it's very cold, right? But now if a polar bear came to Vrindavan and he was wandering around Loy Bazaar, taking darshan, Bhangi Bihari, coming here to the Kirtan, what would the polar bear think? Would he think it's cold? He would think, well, it's a very nice day here in Vrindavan. There's no ice floes. I'm a little hungry. There's no seals to catch in the Jamuna. But he would think, very hot. And if you were to sit down next to the polar bear, he'd probably complain. God, I'm sweating. But you're binding yourself up. And he's feeling hungry, so don't talk too long. But the point is, he is interpreting the material world according to his sense perception. Right? And he has constructed the idea, it's cold. No, it's warm here in Vrindavan. Whereas you have interpreting Matras Pasas to you're interpreting this material situation as being cold relative to yourself. So that is relativism. In philosophical terms, relativism means that I am judging everything relative to myself. And this is particularly the habit of the materially conditioned. They're always interpreting this third state of consciousness, the material world, in terms of good and bad. There's three psychic movements within consciousness: thinking, consciousness, awareness. Then there is interpretation, feeling that consciousness. And then there's sankalp vikalp. I like it, I don't like it. And then the fourth action will be action on the gross plane. So consciousness is there, it is interpreting reality, then it is coming to conclusions, sankalp vikalp, accept, not accept, and action and words, actions of the gross and subtle body are based on their acceptance and rejections. So everyone is interpreting the world in that way, in the conditioned world, because they're judging everything relative to themselves, because they are not on the absolute platform. They're not on Turiya. They have not come to the fourth platform, and they have not seen from that platform that this material world is all bad. The materialist thinks he constructs all sorts of philosophies: capitalism, socialism, feminism, globalism, did I say, Marxism, thisism, and it is all about how to enjoy the material world. The left-wing people think we'll enjoy the material world through socialism. Then the capitalist people, they think we'll enjoy the material world through capitalism, right-wing people. And we will, but it's all about one thing. And the women are thinking we'll become feminists and then we can enjoy the material world in that way, because there's the evil patriarchy that is suppressing us. But everyone in the material world is being suppressed. Everyone is shouting about freedom, writing songs, national anthems. We are the land of the free and we are always going to be free, and so on. That's for you and me, freedom, like this. They're all making all these ideas up. But in the material world, everyone is suppressed, because we have this illusion that I'm free, but we're bound by time. We're being pushed along by time. We can't jump to the future. We can't go to the back. We might write scientific, sci-fi novels, science fiction. We might imagine that. But we don't know. We're stuck here. We're stuck in this time of place. We're bound by the laws of karma. And we are bound by death. We're all suppressed. And therefore we all make these songs about freedom and love, and if all you need is love and money too, if actually. We write all these stupid songs, and therefore all the materialists who are ignorant of the absolute platform, which is reality, they are speaking ideas and philosophies like people haunted by ghosts. It is all nonsense, because it is all based on me, my perception. So I have made this idea, there the world is class struggle, this is that, we should do this. But no, it's all bad, because you're in the prison house. The absolute platform is in the world of freedom. And that is, what is the absolute platform? When everything is judged and perceived in relationship not to me, but to the Supreme Lord. That is the absolute platform. Verse number 6, Ishupanishad. What is that verse? Yastu sarvani bhutani atmani evanupashati. Sarvabhuteshu chatmanam tatona vidyugupshite.
Very important verse. What does it mean? Yastu sarvani bhutani, he who always sees everything in relationship to the Supreme Lord.
Now we've been explaining, right, that we want to see everything in the cosmogony, the cosmology, the genealogy, the words of the sages. It's all coming from the Supreme Lord. This is the Vedic prescription, to see everything in relationship to the Supreme Lord.
Atmani eva napashati, everything in relationship to the Supreme Lord.
Sarvabhuteshu chatmanam means who see all living entities, the jiva, as his part and parcel,
as the expansion of the Supreme Lord. Just like Krishna says, what does he say in the Gita?
Mavai vangsa jiva loke, jiva bhuta sanatana.
The living entities are my eternal fragmental parts. So if we don't see that, if we see the living entities as separated or in material illusion, we think this living entity is a lion, this one's a tiger, and that one's the polar bear I've been talking to. We don't see the living entities in relationship. And then, sarvabhute chatmanam, and all, everything within the Supreme Lord, and the Supreme Lord within everything. Three things. Everything in relationship, all the energies in relationship to the Supreme Lord, all the living entities as his expanded part and parcel, and everything is within the Supreme Lord, and the Supreme Lord is within everything. So these are the three elements that give one the vision of the absolute platform. And then the last line, tatona vidyugupshite. And then he never hates or despises anything or any being, because he sees this is all an expression of the Supreme Lord. And being on the absolute platform, by being conscious experientially, by experiencing this platform through sadhana bhakti, through chanting Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. He becomes entranced. He becomes in samadhi. He sees, and this confirmed is reality. That is reality. Huh? The illusory world is to see things disconnected from the Supreme Lord. Now the result of entering this samadhi is, as it is said in today's verse, you become situated in your swarup. And that is in the second canto, chapter 10, verse 6. Muktir hitavam yata rupan swarupena avavashtiti. What is liberation from the material modes? Liberation means to be situated within yourself. So, the first part of sadhana bhakti is to absorb siddhanta. Siddhanta will teach you to see everything in relationship to the Supreme Lord. Then if you perform the recommended sadhana, such as hearing more about the Supreme Lord and his relationship to the creation, and you chant Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. If you perform that activity, then you will enter the absolute platform and you will realize your swarup. And then you'll be atmavan, just like nir yoga shema atmavan, Krishna says, Arjuna. Be established in yourself, in the Supreme Self. And that is the absolute platform. Then you will be free of the dualities. Then you're in reality. Because everything is the expression, the emanation, the manifestation of the Supreme Lord. So if we are not immersed in that perception, then we're in illusion. We have not seen reality. And therefore, we're under the modes of material nature, we're in the wheels of karma, so on and so forth. Huh? And then we feel kunta, anxiety, gain and safety. How I can get something, how I can be safe. Huh? Niryoga shema atmavan. Huh? So this is the state of consciousness described here in the Purana of these great kings. They were kings. Normally, management is a bit of a distraction. But if you are trained in spiritual knowledge and you are liberated soul, then you can be in any situation, and your bhava, your love for the Supreme Lord, will be there. And when that bhava is there, then this external world shrinks back. And you don't become, you become dhirastatra namu, you become sober. You don't become affected, oh it's cold, it's hot. This person likes me, this person doesn't like me. And one realizes the absolute presence of the Supreme Lord and becomes completely free of anxiety. So, thank you all very much for your coming to class and your kind attention. If there are any quick questions? Yes. The great Kirtaniya. What's for breakfast? Is that your question? I heard it was sponsored today. Yes. How do I sing? What is that melody? Huh?
Sometimes we may not be so much able to reflect. We may not be able to reflect so nicely as you did. You made such a wonderful explanation of many things. But we may be not so expert to reflect so nicely on all this subject matter. And we find ourselves where I am. I try to be a devotee. I don't know very much where I'm going, actually. And we read Prabhupada saying...
Quick question.
Sorry?
Quick question.
That
I've mentioned breakfast. Sorry?
If you are sincere, if you are sincere and you chant Hare Krishna sincerely, and you try to please the devotee, please your Guru Maharaj and Krishna, then everything will be complete, even if you don't understand.
That's a statement, and very good.
That's my question.
What is your question then?
Is it okay to think also like that?
Yes, it's perfect. Yes, because it is there in the writings of Bhaktivinoda. Thank you for your kind words about my feeble attempt to glorify Bhagavad philosophy. However, the question is, yes, we may not be very expert in devotional service. So how we can attain that? So that is at the end of the teaching of Lord Rishabhdev to his sons. You know, the fifth chapter of the fifth canto. He says that those that want to attain the Supreme Lord, leave this material world, go back to Godhead, and attain Krishna Prem. Lord Rishabhdev tells his sons, he says, they should consider the mercy, the kripa of the Supreme Lord as the summum bonum of life. Summum bonum means the accumulation of all that is good. It indicates the absolute truth. So if you want your love of God and you want to get out of this material world, which is always going to be dualistic and miserable, and you want to go to the transcendental platform, you should consider everything, your whole aim of life is to get the mercy of the Supreme Lord. That should be your primary concern. And like you said, Lord Nityananda, he's selling the holy name. which means he's selling Krishna. But is he selling it for money? No. How do you purchase Krishna? Lolam. Desire. Eagerness. Right? So if you have that desire, eagerness, and there's many stories in the Shastra, very humble people that without great talent or intellect or ability, but they loved Krishna and they were sincere. There's the story right in the Puranas of the Brahmin on one side of the road. He knew all the mudras and yantras and the tilak and everything, but he was puffed up. And on the other side of the road there was a woman of easy virtue. You know, she was in a fallen state materially, but she was always praying, "Oh Govinda, I wish I was like this saintly Brahmin. I wish I could do something to serve you. Please give me your mercy." So who attained Krishna? Was it the puffed up Brahmin or was it the sincere lady of easy virtue? It was the prostitute. Yes. Because everything in this world is prostitution. We are selling ourselves for name, fame, fortune. We're either intellectual or physical prostitutes. We're trying to buy things in this material world. We're selling ourselves. We're selling our soul to false philosophies. So whatever your situation, you should consider, let me get the mercy of Krishna. Let me act so I can get the mercy of Krishna. This is my whole goal in life. Right? There's a story about Prabhupada when he's staying in Radha Damodar. And this was before Krishna Balaram, this was way back. And there was one lady, she used to take a big brass pot down to the Jamuna, fill it up and bring it back so that the deities could be bathed in Jamuna water. And Prabhupada told the devotees there, she'll go back to Godhead. She's just a simple lady. Maybe not very, maybe even not literary or something like that. But she was going to the Jamuna carrying a heavy pot of water so that Radha Damodar, Radharani could be bathed in the Jamuna water. So she attained the mercy of Krishna. So we must always remember that it is sincerity of purpose. Krishna says, Yayatam mam prapadyante, tamsteva bhajamiyaham, bhajamiyaham. However you do your bhajan, your worship of Krishna, I will rewarding you accordingly. So if we go to Krishna because we want wealth, Krishna will give you that. Akama sava kama muksha kama udaryade trivrena bhakti yogena yajite purusham param. That whether you have all desire, no desire, you want liberation or whatever, worship Krishna. But, because Krishna will give you, but if you want Krishna Prem, this means that if you want Krishna Prem, go to Krishna. I was explaining this last. Just like when we go in front of the deities, we can conjure up in our heart, "Oh Krishna, tomorrow I belong to you, Krishna. I surrender. I have nothing to give you. Everything belongs to you. So I give you myself." In love. And then Krishna will reciprocate in that way. So Krishna reciprocates. So we should, Krishna, please, out of your mercy. What is that verse? What is that? Patita pavana hetu tava avatar. Mosamo patita prabhu na paibaya. O Lord Chaitanya, you'll not find anyone more fallen than me. You've come for this purpose, to save the fallen. Advaita Acharya, he asked for that in the Mahaprakash Leela Chaitanya Bhagavat. Lord Chaitanya exhibited all his forms as the Supreme Lord, and then he demanded at the end, "Now Advaita, you take a benediction." And Advaita Acharya said, "No, you've already satisfied me. You've come." No, I want to give benedictions to all my devotees. So he said to Advaita Acharya, then give me one benediction, that those that are humble, that are sincere in their endeavor, give them your mercy. But those that are proud, falsely proud, with beauty or wealth or birth or possessions, don't give them your mercy. So Krishna loves the sweet and humble. So when we mam namaskuru, right? Mam manmana. When we approach Krishna, we should say, "Oh Krishna, I belong to you. I have nothing to offer. So I offer myself to your lotus feet." And then Krishna, he's giving himself to me, this spirit soul, so I'm going to give myself to him. That is the power of bhakti. So, that is the secret of bhakti. Everything is an application, sadhana bhakti, for the mercy of Krishna. Everything we do, it should be for the mercy of the devotees and the mercy of Krishna. Because mahatsevam dwaram aho vimuktes, that the pure devotees, that are dear to Krishna, they are the doorway to Krishna. So the mercy of the devotees, the mercy of Krishna, that should be our complete goal. Does that answer the question? Okay. Thank you all very much. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.